Good morning, I'm Bill Whitney, sitting in for Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Saddam Hussein might be ready to blink in the showdown with the United States. CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston has the latest from Baghdad.
Saddam Hussein and Iraq's supporters are pinning all of their hopes on a last-minute diplomatic effort by UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. They want him to visit Baghdad. So far, Annan has not agreed to come here, and before there's even a possibility of that happening, Annan is awaiting a report from the team of surveyors who arrived in Baghdad yesterday. Those surveyors will be marking off the boundaries of 8 presidential sites, identifying exactly how many buildings there are on the sites, where they are located, and what the purpose of the buildings would be, according to the Iraqis. The UN says there are as many as 1,500 buildings. So far, Saddam Hussein has refused UN weapons inspectors access to any of those sites. Meanwhile, as the prospect of a military strike looms closer, the Iraqis are signaling a new willingness to compromise. This morning, an Iraqi official told CBS News that a 2-month deadline, which had been placed on inspecting the presidential site, is flexible. It doesn't have to be 2 months, he told us. It could be longer. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, Baghdad.
The Clinton administration continues to insist on full, unlimited access and to make its case for military action. CBS News correspondent Bill Plant brings us up to date from the White House.
The National Security Advisor and the Secretaries of State and Defense are going to Columbus, Ohio, to Ohio State University Wednesday for a nationally televised town meeting. The president tomorrow addresses a military audience at the Pentagon, and the object of both of these exercises is to convince the public that even a temporary setback to Saddam's weapons buildup is worth the casualties which will inevitably proceed from that. Innocent Iraqis and U.S. servicemen.
Congress has yet to act on a resolution supporting military action. Republican Senator Phil Graham says that's because the administration has no long-range plan to topple Saddam Hussein. And Graham believes that has to be done if the Iraqi leader has chemical and biological weapons.
He is mean enough and crazy enough that he might use them. And I think we have a real responsibility to do something about it.
More military hardware is heading for the Gulf. 2 B-1 bombers took off for Bahrain from Ellsworth Air Force Base in South Dakota. They'll join 2 other B-1s and support personnel already in the region. Emergency teams scrambled at the airport in Taipei after a Taiwanese airliner crashed and burned just short of the runway. Authorities say there were 197 people aboard the Airbus A300, and most apparently died. Among the passengers were several Taiwanese finance officials, including the governor of Taiwan's central bank. They were returning from a conference in Bali. U.S. hockey coach Ron Wilson concedes the road to the gold probably runs through Canada. Canada ran through Team USA in Nagano. Gary Cohen covered for CBS Radio Sports.
5 seconds to play. Pronger slides it ahead to Yzerman through center with 2 seconds. To Gretzky, Forsen with a drive, saved by Richter as the final buzzer sounds. And Canada has themselves a 4-1 victory.
CBS News correspondent Jim Shenevy has more.
As expected, Canada is proving to be the team to beat in Olympic men's hockey. The NHL-dominated Canadian team beat the U.S. 4-1. Colorado Avalanche goalie Patrick Waugh put up an impressive performance for his teammates, including the Philadelphia Flyers. Eric Lindros.
Patty hung, stood tall and kept kicking away a lot of rubber.
A mixed reaction from American fans.
I just thought Canada completely outclassed USA.
As hard as it is to sit here and watch it, I'd rather have it happen now than later.
This round was primarily for seeding purposes. The U.S. now heads into the medal round. In women's speed skating, American Chris Whitty won the bronze in the 1,500-meter competition. Jim Shenevy, CBS News, Nagano.
It's 4 minutes past the hour.
KNX 1070 News Radio.
Instead of giving you another bank ad, City National Bank would like to give you the next few moments to think. To think about where you want your business to go and if there's a way to make it run more efficiently. Still thinking about your business, right? Not your backswing. So, who can help you implement those plans? City National Bank. You know where you want to go. We can help you get there. City National Bank. The way up. Member FDIC.
Monica Lewinsky's lawyer and prosecutor Kenneth Starr have yet to resolve the question of her testimony. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive in Washington has a live update.
Bill, her lawyer William Ginsburg says he's disgusted with Starr's investigation and insists there was an immunity deal.
Prosecutors have a lot of power, and if a prosecutor's word is no good, then by God, we're in trouble in this country.
Ginsburg said Lewinsky's mother, Marsha Lewis, is still under a doctor's care. The grand jury experience was that rough. The next witness tomorrow expected to be former Secret Service officer Lewis Fox on what he may have seen guarding the Oval Office. Meantime, USA Today reports two lawyers' organizations will challenge subpoenas Starr has issued to attorneys, including Lewinsky's former lawyer. Dan Revive, CBS News, live in Washington.
Closing arguments are underway in the murder trial of former Naval Academy cadet Diane Zamora. She and former Air Force cadet David Graham, Zamora's fiancé at the time, allegedly killed 16-year-old Ariane Jones after Jones had a one-night stand with Graham. Nina Martinez of CBS radio station KRLD is covering.
The prosecution and the defense will each have 1 hour to make their last pitch to the jury. Then deliberations will begin. Terry Hart, an attorney watching the case closely, says prosecutors will remind the jury of the evidence against Diane Zamora.
The prosecution is going to emphasize their strengths, all of the witnesses that they brought on, saying that Diane Zamora told them that she was involved in the murder.
If Zamora is convicted of capital murder, she will spend the next 40 years of her life behind bars with no chance for parole. Nina Martinez, CBS News, Fort Worth.
The Mossad is highly regarded, but Israel's spy agency is not infallible. That conclusion from an inquiry into the attempt to assassinate an Islamic militant leader in Jordan. Jesse Shulman has more in this live report from Jerusalem.
Bill, bad planning, inadequate intelligence work, and just plain carelessness on the part of Mossad agents and their chiefs were to blame for Israel's botched attempt to assassinate a Hamas official in the Jordanian capital Amman in September. That's the essence of the conclusions released today by the commission that investigated the fiasco. The commission, which was appointed by Prime Minister Netanyahu, did not challenge his decision to order the attempted killing, and it concluded Netanyahu himself bore no blame for its failure. Live from Jerusalem, Jesse Shulman, CBS News.
It's 7.5 minutes past the hour.
You're hearing news on KNX 1070.
Well, hon, I'm off to Malaysia.
Ooh, have a nice flight, dear.
Okay, kids, step back from the door.
Aw, Dad, we want to see.
Well, maybe when you're older, princess.
Aw. Oh, goodbye, dear.
Now when you fly Malaysia Airlines, the service starts right at your front door. Because when you buy a first class or business class ticket on Malaysia Airlines, they'll send a big cushy sedan right to your home, drive you to the airport, and set you down at curbside free. When you return, there'll be a chauffeur waiting for you to drive you back to where you started. Malaysia Airlines flies 747-400s to Kuala Lumpur 6 days a week from LAX and to over 115 other cities worldwide, with service that's led Business Travel World to call it the best Asian airline for business travel 3 years in a row. And now, Malaysia Airlines will even drive you to the airport.
Malaysia, you're cleared for takeoff.
Some restrictions apply, so call your travel agent or Malaysia Airlines.
A storm in the Gulf of Mexico has kept the Coast Guard busy. It responded to distress calls from two sinking tugboats and coordinated efforts to secure a 140-foot barge near Pascagoula, Mississippi. It had more than 100 people on board, and high wind was threatening to cut it loose in 8 to 12-foot seas. California had a sunny Sunday, but authorities worry that the next Pacific storm will cause more mudslides. And Bob Crowder of the State Farm Bureau says vegetable growers are already behind schedule.
There is the potential for some gaps in production and possibly some higher prices this spring and early summer on some of these vegetable crops.
Right now, Crowder says farmers can't plant in their soggy fields. Police are retracing their steps in the JonBenet Ramsey murder investigation. The Rocky Mountain News says friends of the victim's parents have been asked for new interviews. Police have told them the original interviews were lost. And reportedly, DNA tests are being run on a piece of duct tape that John Ramsey said he took off his daughter's mouth after discovering her body. The Denver Post says investigators are curious because the autopsy revealed no skin damage around the child's mouth. The holiday weekend kept Titanic afloat. The movie was in first place at the box office for the ninth weekend in a row, and with a North American gross of nearly $371 million, it's right behind Star Wars and E.T. as the all-time domestic moneymaker. And that's the CBS World News Roundup for Monday, February 16th, 1998. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.